after infidelity, your body might not feel like normal anymore. There might be knots in your stomach all the time. Maybe you feel nauseous when you think about what happened. Maybe your chest gets tight or your breathing changes. Your sleep feels like it's off. Or you feel like you sleep through the night, but when you wake up, you feel like you've been hit by a truck, even if you technically slept through the night. And for a lot of people, they'll even go to the doctor and get tests done. And they hear that everything looks normal. Everything seems fine. But nothing feels normal to you. And so this stacks on top of the gaslighting, starting to make you feel like you're going crazy. And you might start to wonder, why would something emotional make you feel physically sick? Typically what's happening is your body is responding to trauma. Because betrayal does not just affect your feelings, it affects your nervous system. When the person that you trusted becomes this person who hurt you, your brain doesn't process that as just a minor relationship problem. It processes it as danger. So that's why it's very common to experience physical symptoms after infidelity. Stomach pain, chest tightness, headaches, insomnia, panic, exhaustion, feeling jumpy, feeling on edge, feeling like you can never fully relax. Essentially, it's your body trying to protect you. The problem, though, is that it's treating something that's happened in the past as if it's still happening right now. And there's a chance that it might be. It might be the case that the betrayal is not over, that there might be more information that's going to come to light, or that just in other ways that person isn't treating you well. But regardless of whether it's an ongoing thing or not, your body feels like it is. And it's important to recognize this element, because if you misunderstand what's happening, it's really easy to start blaming yourself. You might shame yourself for needing reassurance or wanting to feel safe. You could hate your body for not calming down. You might start to agree with other people and start saying things like, I should be over this by now. One way that healing can begin to happen, though, is when you learn to treat some of the symptoms not as something that's a personal failure, but as communication from your body. So what's really going on? When betrayal happens, your nervous system activates different survival mode operation systems. Fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. Fight can look like rage, confrontation, needing answers, demanding the truth. Flight can look like wanting to leave, escape, run away, disappear, or just mentally check out. Freeze might look like feeling numb, stuck, paralyzed, unable to make a decision. And fawning can look like just trying to keep the peace, trying to please the other person, even though they're the one that hurt you, trying to make the relationship feel safe again, even though you're the one that was wronged. And these are different responses that can happen to your body, releasing stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline. When those chemicals stay elevated for too long, it affects the way that your body starts to feel. That's why your digestion can slow down, which can lead to nausea, stomach pain, bloating, acid reflux, or loss of appetite. That's why your muscles can tense up, especially around your shoulders, neck, jaw, and chest. This can just give you that tight or heavy feeling, or like you can't take a full breath. And when you're in that elevated, stressful state with those hormones flooding your system, that's part of what it can make it so hard to sleep well. In a lot of ways, those hormones are like the fuel to the obsessive thinking, because it's trying to identify and eliminate the threat. It's trying to find some missing piece. It's trying to create some certainty out of the chaos. And what's really difficult is that because you're in such an elevated, stressful state, your brain will get kicked into overdrive at one point or another, and you'll be looking for answers. But because this is originating in your body, it's a nervous system level response, it's a physical level response, you can't think your way out of it necessarily. Your brain will play a part, but if you stay at the level of thought only, and don't get some type of somatic release, or don't get some type of nervous system regulation, you're going to just keep going around in circles. And that's why logical explanations on their own really aren't that useful. You can tell yourself, well, they said it's over, they said they're sorry, they said they won't do it again. But if your nervous system doesn't believe it yet, if your gut, if your heart, if your body doesn't actually think that's true, it's not going to change its response. This is why, when it comes to betrayal, it's not as easy as just, I'm having this thought, let me replace it with this thought, and I'll be good to go. Just a purely cognitive approach to healing is insufficient. So I want to talk about how you can start calming the physical symptoms. A lot of it will be deeper than this, but these are some practical tools you can use right away. The very first thing is to name what's happening. And this applies both at the meta level and in the specifics. So at the meta level, instead of talking using language like, I'm broken, you can accurately assess what's happening and saying, my body is reacting to trauma. Instead of saying I'm crazy, you can say my nervous system's trying to protect me. That shift matters because shame keeps your body in threat mode, whereas compassion starts to kind of loosen things up, open things up, and can create some safety. The second thing you can do is name the specific sensations that you're feeling. So it can be as simple as, I am feeling a tightness in my chest. Saying that out loud brings some attention to it in just a calm, neutral way. And doing that instead of mentally spiraling at the same time is a lot more reassuring to your body. Third thing you can do is just grounding your body in something present in the moment. So you can splash cold water on your face. You can take slow, intentional breaths, and you can alternate between breathing into your stomach, breathing into your chest, just something to bring a little bit of order to what you're experiencing in the moment. You can name 5 things you can see, 4 things you can feel, 3 things you can hear, 2 things you can smell, 1 thing you can taste. Like, that's a very common and effective way to just ground yourself. And with these types of strategies, the goal is not to erase or fully process the pain in the moment. The goal is to just tell your nervous system, like, hey, we're here, we're in this moment, we're not back at the moment of discovery. Another thing you can do is just introducing more movement into your life. Think of it as physical energy that's getting pent up. If that energy has nowhere to go, it will default to turning into tension, panic, or shutting down. So stretching can help, short walks can help, but also consider things that are a little bit more intense, running or jogging, going to the gym, lifting heavy weights, or whatever is heavy for you. Something that creates exertion, something that requires exertion, I should say, can just help let some of that energy out. Another big thing you can do is just create more routine for yourself. A big piece of why betrayal is so traumatic is that it upends predictability. So create predictability and safety in other ways in your life through routine. So think of morning routines, evening routines, little grounding routines that you can do throughout the day. They can include things like a morning walk, small steady meals, turning off screens earlier in the day, taking a warm shower before bed, taking a cold shower when you get up. These things sound really basic, but and it's not about the specific thing. It's about the reliability of knowing that even if this person is failing to show up for me, I'm not going to fail me as well. Consistency is all about being able to say, I know what's coming next. And they're completely not giving that to you right now. So create that for yourself in small ways. Because when your body knows what's going to come next, it can start to relax. And one final tip that I'd give is that don't expect your mind and your body to always be in alignment. Like, that's normal. What you consciously think and what's going on unconsciously and in your body are going to be two different things. Sometimes one will move faster than the other. There will be times where you think consciously, it doesn't make sense for me to forgive this behavior, but then in your body, you actually feel safe forgiving it. You might think it consciously makes sense to not be bothered by a specific insult that came out, but in your body, you feel devastated by that. So that can be an invitation to sit with that specific thing, that mismatch where your head is saying one thing, your body's saying another. Finding those mismatches is actually a great way to signal, this is where I need to spend some more time reflecting. Whether it's talking to someone about it, someone who's a professional, whether it's just going over it in your own mind, kind of examining it from different angles, whether it's asking yourself, where in my body do I feel this tension, or any other ways that make sense to you. And you might be wondering, okay, but what if I've tried these things? What if I've tried calming down, journaling, breathing, sleeping better, and I still feel physically overwhelmed? That usually means that there is a deeper emotional root that's still active. Maybe your body is not just reacting to the betrayal. Maybe it's reacting to abandonment or humiliation or fears that you were never enough that are not just tied to this one situation, but are tied to a much bigger pattern. The physical symptom is often not the real issue. It's the alarm. The deeper question is, what is that alarm protecting you from? Who is it trying to make sure you never become? Who is it trying to make sure that you stay as? What outcome is it trying to ensure, or what outcome is it trying to make sure never happens? For one person, stomach pain might be connected ultimately to feeling powerless. For another person, chest tightness might be connected to grief. For other people, insomnia might be connected to the fear that if they stop watching, something bad will happen. This is why healing looks different for everyone. People often are very quick to externalize the healing process and look for answers outside in the world. But your body is actually giving you a lot of different hints, and it can be difficult to navigate those clues if you're not used to it. But there's a lot of wisdom in your body's response to this. And so instead of viewing it as this thing to overcome or get past, viewing it as like a very clumsy guide on your way, because it's doing it in a miserable way. I grant you that. But viewing it as trying to help is a helpful perspective to have. At the very least, it's your body saying there is something here that still needs to be processed. And the truth is that your body can learn safety again. It's happened for hundreds and thousands of people before. Why couldn't it also happen for you? The same nervous system that learns danger and is able to change on a dime is able to also learn peace. The same body that learns to brace for impact can also soften. And the way that you get there isn't by pretending that it didn't hurt. And perhaps the initial shift that will help you get on the path to getting there is recognizing that your body is not your enemy. It really is trying to help, and that if you listen to it, there will be subtle hints and cues along the way for what the next path of healing looks like for you.